Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice, and we have a lot of news today for you, so please stay tuned. For starters, from Public News Service 2024 Talks, we have a few national news headlines for you, including the latest on student protests over Gaza, the TikTok ban passed by Congress, and the Supreme Court hearing landmark cases that could impact your right to abortion and Donald Trump's right to immunity. The Cajon Valley Union School District Board has made an appointment, and we'll tell you who it is to fill that vacancy on our show today. The county has a warning out about fake Botox that has given people botulism. There is a fair housing event coming up in Spring Valley, so if you want to know how to protect yourself against discrimination by landlords, you'll want to be there. On Tribal Beat, some good news for the Hamul Indian Tribe today. Their reservation is poised to expand thanks to some legislation moving its way through Congress. Then on Green Scene, hear about President Biden's action to preserve land in the Arctic. On Jobs Talk, we'll tell you about a refugee fair coming up at Grossmont College. And then on Crime Beat, hear about a sexual assault on campus at San Miguel High School. A gunman arrested after a chase that started at the Jack in the Box in La Mesa, and a swatting incident at Ramona High School. On our agricultural report today, we'll have some detailed information for you about how local farmers here across San Diego County are doing their part with sustainable farming to help protect against climate change. Then on Destination East County, we will have all the most fun festivals and events coming up across our region, including concerts, parades, flower festivals, and a whole lot more. If you'd like to take a walk with a doc, a doctor that is, will tell you how, thanks to a new program through Grossmont Hospital in La Mesa. From California News Service, hear about a bill in the legislature in Sacramento that would require defibrillators and CPR training to save lives in public schools. Then we'll be airing our interview with Juliana Giorgis, the new executive director of the Chaldean Community Council and a refugee herself. Hear about a new dark skies initiative to protect Julian from light pollution, and we'll have a bulletin from the sheriff on an arsonist being sought in Spring Valley. So, stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, where East County matters.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I'm one of many talented and promising students with bright futures who have been banned from campus. But Mike Johnson, who is an open racist and white supremacist, along with people like Gavin McGinnis, the head of the Proud Boys, they were welcomed on campus.
Sarah King, a Jewish Columbia University grad student suspended from school for protesting the war in Gaza, compares that to the treatment of Republicans and members of the far right. Hundreds of students were arrested at over a dozen protests across the U.S. and Canada this week. On social media, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson accused demonstrators of getting support from Hamas. Johnson was heckled when visiting Columbia and calling for the National Guard to restore order.
I am committing today that the Congress will not be silent as Jewish students are expected to run for their lives and stay home from their classes hiding in fear.
Hearings on two huge cases show a deeply divided Supreme Court. Defending a near-total abortion ban Wednesday, lawyers for Idaho argued an exemption for the life of the mother is clear and broad enough to allow effective care. But Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar says the ban violates a federal law that hospitals have to give treatment in emergencies. She says it's often unclear when pregnancy complications become life-threatening.
Women in Idaho today are not getting treatment. They are getting airlifted out of the state to Salt Lake City and to neighboring states where there are health exceptions in their laws because the doctors are facing mandatory minimum, 2 years in prison, loss of their license, criminal prosecution.
On Thursday, the court seemed unlikely to accept former President Donald Trump's position that he has near total criminal immunity. But citing the issue's possible impact on future presidents, some of the justices seemed willing to wrestle with the issue, which would likely stall one of Trump's more important criminal cases past the election. The repeal of Arizona's 1864 abortion ban now awaits approval of the state Senate and the governor. Yolanda Bejarano, chair of the Arizona Democratic Party, spoke after the successful repeal vote in the state House.
The contrast between our two parties could not be clearer. Democrats are fighting for abortion rights. We are fighting to protect Arizona values. And the Republican Party is taking away our rights and are under sole control of Donald Trump.
If the laws repealed, Arizona would go back to a 2022 15-week ban. TikTok says it'll challenge a law President Joe Biden signed forcing its Chinese parent company to divest from the U.S. or see the app blocked. TikTok CEO Xiaoji Chu addressing TikTok users in a video.
Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice.
Critics say the ban's a form of censorship fueled by anti-Chinese sentiment. Supporters say the app would allow Chinese surveillance. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
The Cajon Valley Union School District's Board of Trustees voted during a special meeting on April 22nd to appoint Lily Schwarm to fill the vacancy on the board left by the resignation of Joe Alegria. A bilingual education teacher, Schwarm previously ran for El Cajon City Council in 2012. In an interview then with East County Magazine, Schwarm said she has taught in the Cajon Valley, La Mesa Spring Valley, and South Bay school districts before choosing to homeschool her children. She has also been an active member with Foothills Christian Church, including mentoring at-risk youths. The four members who appointed Schwarm are all conservatives. Schwarm ran for El Cajon City Council on a platform of fiscal conservatism as well as a goal of legalizing chicken ownership. She stated at the time, "We need to take responsibility for our community instead of saying the government isn't doing enough. Spending money that taxpayers can't afford is akin to counting your chickens before they hatch." Alex Welling, a candidate running for the Cajon Valley School Board against Chair Jim Miller, objected to the City Council convening a special meeting on only 24 hours' notice to consider appointments for the vacancy, as well as convening the meeting at 4 p.m., a time many parents can't attend. Welling said, "Such critical decisions should not be made in a special meeting during working hours. However, this seems to be a pattern of unfortunate behavior by our board president and superintendent." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
This is Zervon Ali with a health alert. San Diego County health officials are warning people not to buy or use products labeled as Botox from unverified sources. A local woman may have contracted botulism after using the product popular for reducing wrinkles. Botulism is an illness caused by a toxin that attacks the body's nerves. The woman bought a product labeled as Botox from an unlicensed online source and bought it to a quote-unquote Botox party in Mexico in March, where she was injected. The next day, she developed symptoms that were consistent with botulism. Headaches, felt weak, and had a hoarse voice and blurred vision. This comes as the CDC reports that 22 cases of botulism due to counterfeit or mishandled botulinum toxin or Botox are being investigated in 11 states, including two in California. Half of those patients were hospitalized. Dr. Ankita Kadakia, the county's deputy public health officer, says botulism is rare and sometimes fatal illness. This is why it's vital you go into the emergency department immediately if you have symptoms, so doctors can administer an antitoxin. It is also important that if you get Botox or one of the similar products, you buy it from an accredited source. If you are looking to get a Botox treatment, ask your medical provider for the setting, such as a spa or a clinic, if they have a license, if their staff is trained to provide the injection. Then look up their license at the California Department of Cosmetic Licensing. Also ask how they got their product and if it's FDA approved. Symptoms of botulism occur within days or weeks of injection. The contaminated substance, in these cases, the CDC reports symptoms onset generally around 3 days after exposure. Symptoms can include weakness or drooping of eyelids, blurred or double vision, dry mouth, sore throat, slurred speech, trouble swallowing, and difficulty breathing. Prompt diagnosis and treatment are critical to decreasing the severity and duration of the illness. If you have had an ejection or feel any of these symptoms, go to the emergency department immediately.
CSA San Diego County invites you to learn about your rights as a tenant at a fair housing presentation on May 1st from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Spring Valley Library's Community Room. Topics to be discussed in this presentation include: what is fair housing? What are protected classes? What should you do if you have faced housing discrimination? What should you know before you rent? Plus, information on just cause and no-fault evictions. Everybody is welcomed to attend. An RSVP is requested. For questions, you can call 619-444-5700. Again, that phone number is 619-444-5700. CSA San Diego County is a nonprofit organization with a mission to promote social justice and advocate against all forms of discrimination, including eradication of housing discrimination, to assure equal housing opportunity for all individuals. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Janeta Ramirez.
This is the East County Magazine Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Tribal Beat report. The Humboldt Indian Village Land Transfer Act, authored by Congressman Daryl Issa, passed the House of Representatives on April 10th. H.R. 6447 incorporates 172 acres of land in San Diego's East County region into the Humboldt Indian Village Reservation, placing the land into tribal trust and preserving it for generations to come. This area also includes a 100-year-old church and cemetery where their tribal lineage has rested for generations. The acreage is currently owned by the Humboldt Indian Village and includes residential land for homes and council buildings and the tribe's only road for transportation. If approved by the Senate and signed by President Joe Biden, this would be a dramatic expansion of Humboldt's tribal lands, since the existing reservation has only 6 acres, most of which is occupied by the tribe's casino and a hotel under construction. Congressman Issa says the Humboldt Indian Village has endeavored for years to facilitate the best ways for tribal members to move onto reservation land in order to raise their families, preserve their native culture, and honor tribal customs and practices. He adds, this fee to trust bill grants this historic tribe an opportunity to do just that. By placing Humboldt's land into trust, our legislation safeguards the reservation, its sacred sites, and Kumeyaay traditions, so they will endure far into the future.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
The 211-mile Ambler Road would have sliced through the gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve, severing the migration route for a western Arctic caribou herd. Alex Johnson with the National Parks Conservation Association says it was important for the feds to take a stand in Alaska so mining interests don't start eyeing other national parks.
This is a very expensive, destructive, and just highly speculative project that does not in any way support our clean energy goals as a country and ultimately would permanently threaten the health and well-being of local communities and the tribes.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
Welcome to Job Talk, bringing you news about great jobs and growing our regional economy.
More than 40 employers will be attending the third annual Refugee Job Fair on May 1st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Grossmont College in the main quad. The event, which is open to the public, focuses on finding new careers for refugees, dreamers, international students, and community members. A wide range of employers will be seeking job applicants at the event. The employers registered to attend include Amazon, the California Department of Transportation, City of San Diego, San Diego Police Department, Sequan Casino, and UC San Diego. Renee Nasori, Career Services Supervisor at Grossmont College, says the job fair supports some of the college's most vulnerable students. She adds, some of these individuals are highly intellectual and some are newly resettled in the U.S. with limited English skills. Translation services will be offered in multiple languages. Grossmont College's Career Center is also offering assistance with creating and printing resume, career skills workshops, and development of an elevator pitch to help applicants stand out with potential employers. The event is sponsored by Grossmont College, the Public Consulting Group, San Diego Workforce Partnership, the International Rescue Committee, and the San Diego Refugee Forum. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Zaravon Ali with the Crime Beat Report. Rayvon Ingles, an 18-year-old student at Mount Miguel High School in Spring Valley, has pleaded not guilty to charges of rape, kidnapping, and sexual assault. He is accused of assaulting a 15-year-old female student in a restroom on campus on April 11th around 4 p.m. The victim, who was on campus for an after-school program, notified school staff. Staff contacted the sheriff's department immediately, and deputies conducted search patrols after the incident. Detectives with the sheriff's sexual assault unit conducted an extensive investigation with the school's cooperation and identified Inglés. He was arrested after turning himself in at Rancho San Diego Sheriff's Station. Inglés is in custody at the San Diego County Jail without bail pending his preliminary bail review on April 29th, followed by the preliminary hearing on May 6th. Lieutenant Lon Nguyen says, "Safety of our students is always a priority for the Sheriff's Department. We want to remind students that they can always approach our school resource deputies with a concern. Students can also call the Anonymous Student Speak Out hotline at 888-580-8477. Once again, that's 888-580-8477.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat Report. Stolen mail, an illegal semi-automatic ghost gun, live and spent ammunition were among the items found in the vehicle of a suspect apprehended April 20th after a pursuit that started in La Mesa. La Mesa police officers responded to a call reporting a man pointing a gun at a female victim at the Jack in the Box restaurant on Jackson Drive shortly before midnight. The officers spotted a vehicle leaving the scene that matched a description of the suspect's vehicle. When officers initiated a traffic stop, the driver fled, leading to a pursuit through La Mesa, Lemon Grove, Spring Valley, and Paradise Hills. The suspect was finally apprehended with help from the San Diego Sheriff and the San Diego Police Departments. He was booked into San Diego County Jail on multiple felony counts. A phone call to the Sheriff's Communications Center on April 24th, around 1:40 in the afternoon, reported an individual armed with a firearm outside Ramona High School. The incident prompted a lockdown of the high school and other nearby schools while deputies from Ramona and Poway stations searched the campuses. The call appears to have been a false report or a swatting incident to provoke a law enforcement response. Nothing suspicious was found. The lockdown was lifted, but deputies stayed on campus until the end of the school day. Detectives from the Ramona substation are investigating the phone threat. The Sheriff's Department thanks the community for their cooperation. Anyone with information is asked to please call the Ramona Sheriff's substation at 760-738-2491. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
A cluster of rabbit deaths in the past week in the Jamul-Dulzura area has residents and wildlife officials concerned. The State Department of Fish and Wildlife is asking anybody who finds a dead or dying wild rabbit to immediately report it online at wildlife.ca.gov or call 916-358-2790. That website again is wildlife.ca.gov. A state wildlife official told East County Magazine that rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus 2, or HDV2, is a likely possible reason for the deaths, though tularemia, a tick-borne disease also known as rabbit fever, is another possibility. A third option suspected locally is a parasitic infection which can migrate to the brain of rabbits. Connie Kirkpatrick says she found a dead rabbit and another one near death in the Barrett Junction-Delzura area with bellies that were riddled with ticks and no other apparent abnormalities. Others are reporting rabbit deaths on social media. She told us, everybody has been finding dead rabbits from Hamul all the way up to the mountain areas. But Kirkpatrick says when she called the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, she was at first provided procedures to just bury the carcasses, and nobody offered to pick them up for testing. Another state employee did later contact her asking to test the body, but it was too late. Deanna Clifford, a senior wildlife veterinarian with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, confirmed in a conversation with East County Magazine, we've had a significant uptick in reports, with roughly 11 dead rabbits reported in just the last few days here. While it's impossible to test every dead rabbit due to budget constraints, she says we pay attention especially to multiple rabbit mortality or an uptick, adding that right now they are very interested in getting carcasses to test, especially from the Delzura and Hamul areas. Testing needs to ideally be done within 48 hours of death and no more than 72 hours. The rabbit must have an intact liver, so if it's been scavenged by predators such as hawks or coyotes, it can't be tested. Rabbit hemorrhagic disease was first found in San Diego County in June 2020 when a desert cottontail from Poway tested positive. This disease is fatal up to 90% of the time in European rabbits, but not enough data is available yet to confirm the mortality rates here in U.S. species. In 2021, 11 more cases were found locally, including black-tailed jackrabbits and desert cottontails, including cases in Santee, the Rancho Hamul Ecological Reserve, Borrego Springs, San Vicente Ecological Reserve in Lakeside, Alpine, Ramona, and Campo. No cases were found in 2022 or 2023 locally, although 10 rabbits were tested. This year so far, Fish and Wildlife has received 21 reports of dead rabbits, and they've tested 4 from across our county, but they were all negative. Though bleeding from the mouth is often a sign of this disease, along with convulsions, lethargy, and breathing trouble, some rabbit carcasses that test positive for the hemorrhagic disease do not show any signs of bleeding. To protect domestic rabbits from RHDV4, the California Department of Food and Agriculture urges owners to prevent contact with wild rabbits. Keep your domestic rabbits indoors, or if they are outdoors, off the ground. Avoid feeding hay grown or stored outside in areas where wild rabbits are affected, and use biosecurity measures to prevent the spread of the virus. The hemorrhagic disease is not transmissible to dogs, people, or other wildlife, though other animals may spread it. By contrast, Clifford says tularemia is absolutely capable of being a zoonotic disease, meaning it can spread to other species, including humans. The most common form of transmission for tularemia is through bites of fleas or ticks, though handling a rabbit or carcass with tularemia can also transmit the disease if the person's not wearing gloves or taking appropriate other precautions. Tularemia has been specifically found in the San Diego County, but only sporadically. As for parasitic disease, this was suspected in several rabbits being stored in a freezer for testing at Project Wildlife in Ramona, but unfortunately a freezer lost power and the carcasses degraded, so they could not be tested. Now, if you do find a dead rabbit, don't handle it without gloves on. Check the California Fish and Wildlife site for further instructions and be sure to report it. Clifford assures that the department is reaching out to its phone line operators in our region to be sure they have the latest guidance for advising callers in the future. She also asked us to remind the public that springtime is when baby rabbits, or kits, are commonly found, and sometimes they're mistakenly removed by well-intentioned people. If you do find a baby rabbit that's not injured in a location such as under a bush, it's best to leave it there and keep an eye on it, since mother rabbits often hide their young for many hours. She says we encourage people that might find an uninjured kit under a bush to not disturb the area and leave it where they found it. Mother rabbits often leave and hide their young for many hours and only nurse a few times a day, Clifford says. If an animal appears sick or injured, however, you can contact the Humane Society's Project Wildlife and find tips at sdhumane.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Harry.
This is Danita Ramirez with East County Magazine's Agricultural Report. San Diego County has over 5,000 farms. Most are family-owned and many are organic, producing over 200 commodities ranging from strawberries and citrus to avocados in this water-scarce region. Today, San Diego County is the number one nursery crop producer and the 12th largest agricultural economy in the U.S. But climate change is increasingly felt in the region, placing a strain on local agricultural producers. While San Diego County and California are making strides in cutting greenhouse gas emissions, the annual maximum and minimum temperatures are expected to steadily rise even in the best-case scenario. So, increased dryness, erratic rainfall patterns, more frequent and intense weather extremes will inevitably affect agricultural commodities. Here's how that can affect crops. Crops such as lettuce and strawberries, which prefer mild temperatures, are likely to be the worst hit by rising heat, especially in urban and semi-urban farms exposed to additional warming through the heat island effect. Heat waves may also cause defoliation and affect fruit quality in perennial tree crops. Many fruit and nut trees will suffer from the lack of chill hours. Heat-loving citrus and subtropical avocados may benefit from warmer winters. However, some studies project a decline in avocado yields when exposed to higher summer temperatures. The irrigation water needs of vegetable and ornamental crops will increase, while the produce quality will likely decline. Irregular precipitation factors is another concern. Our region has among the highest year-to-year precipitation variations in the continental U.S. Winters are expected to become wetter, while springs and autumns will get drier, accompanied by more frequent severe droughts. The drastically varying rainfall will likely drive more extreme precipitation events such as flash floods and mudslides, threatening steep farmland and inland valleys. Climate change is also fueling drier conditions that lead to larger and more frequent wildfires. The central third of the county, with sparse development and dense fire-prone vegetation such as chaparral, is at the highest risk. Precipitation variability and shifting seasons may result in a later and more intense fire season driven by infamous Santa Ana winds. Higher temperatures year-round create more favorable conditions for pests to breed, including insects and rodents, as well as fueling weed growth. One of the most dramatic climate change effects that San Diego County is already witnessing is hydroclimate whiplash. Sudden shifts between overly dry and wet weather as the climate heats up, these swings will intensify. So, while some agricultural regions have to adapt to either drier and hotter or wetter growing conditions, San Diegans are getting the worst of both worlds. Despite numerous agricultural challenges, climate-resilient farming stands as a beacon of hope. Encompassing a range of sustainable practices, it either strengthens a farm's climate resilience or harnesses its capacity to mitigate climate change. Let's explore some of the most effective methods gaining traction in San Diego. First is efficient crop rotation and crop diversification. Expanding the range of crop types cultivated may strengthen a farm's economic and environmental resilience. Farmers can not only spread financial risks related to adverse weather, but also improve soil health and soil's capacity to sequester carbon dioxide, which together can positively impact farms' productivity. By including drought and salt-tolerant types of crops into their crop rotation schemes, San Diego growers can secure better crop production under increasing scarcity of irrigation, water, and rainfall. But the high cost of agricultural land locally makes it difficult for small farmers to give up high-value single crops for diversified crops, which can be less profitable. Government incentives for climate-smart crop diversification could be the solution long-term. Sustainable water management is another important step. Despite relatively low water consumption by San Diego County's agriculture and a 20% decrease in statewide water use over the past two decades, there is still room for more water conservation. Local farmers have been actively employing various climate-resilient irrigation methods. Bantle Avocado Farm in Fallbrook uses a wireless mesh network to irrigate its avocado, lemon, and olive trees based on data from in-ground soil moisture sensors. This system delivers water precisely where and when needed to maximize every drop. Another fail-proof method is micro-drip irrigation, which delivers water close to plant roots. minimizing evaporation and maximizing crop uptake. San Diego crop growers are increasingly transitioning to micro sprinklers, conserving more water per acre and reaping bigger harvests. One local citrus grower reported a drop from 9 acre feet to 6 acre feet of water consumed after switching from flood irrigation to micro drip. Boosting soil health and carbon sequestration is also key. The core idea behind carbon farming is to leverage the largest terrestrial carbon sink at our disposal, the soils, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, improve soil health, and provide more income to growers. Sustainable management of agricultural farmland builds soil health, and the benefits are plenty. Better soil structure, richer soil microbiota and organic matter, better tolerance to droughts and floods, and higher capacity to store both carbon and hold moisture. To San Diego County, which has committed to going carbon neutral by 2035, this looks like a prospective solution for offsetting some of the harm done by the largest greenhouse gas emitter, the transportation industry, while securing future food availability by growing in more resilient soils. Typical soil benefiting practices include mulch or compost application, reduced or zero tilting, and cover cropping. Farmers at the nonprofit Coastal Roots Farm in Encinitas create their own compost by rotating crops and chickens through fields, building rich soil organic matter and growing organic vegetables, herbs, fruit, and flowers. Visionary farmers at Palma Valley have set up a carbon farming task force and a carbon sink demonstration farm to showcase the potential benefits of carbon farming and encourage the community and government to tap into them. A joint 5-acre farm project by Solidarity Farm and the Palma Band of Luiseno Indians showed a 4.4% increase in soil organic matter and a 3% increase in stored carbon, a result achieved through no-till, compost application, switch to perennial crops, cover cropping, and installing windbreaks and hedgerows to attract pollinators. Another similar 80-acre project attested to the improved water-holding capacity. Every 1% of soil organic matter built up in the process can save an acre foot of water. Preserving local ecosystems and biodiversity is another component for adapting to climate change. San Diego County is a biodiversity hotspot with the greatest species diversity of any county in the continental United States. But with climate change and urban expansion, preserving our region's natural habitats and ecosystems will require increased conservation efforts, and agriculture can play a significant role. Local farmers can implement a range of practices that support biodiversity and provide habitats for native species. For instance, installing windbreaks, hedgerows, and flowering perennials can increase populations of bird and insect species that prey on pests while also creating habitats for pollinators. Riparian restoration can support many bird species, including migratory and endangered birds, as well as decrease runoff of nutrients and sequester carbon. Through integrated pest and weed management, growers can reduce pesticide and herbicide used by employing eco-friendly practices, helping to preserve habitat and species. Ramona Ranch Winery in Ramona, the first and only certified sustainable winery with a certified wildlife habitat, is a vivid example of how being mindful of nature pays off. By planting an insectary of native plants with birds and butterfly zones, installing owl boxes, and maintaining riparian habitats in their vineyard, they've established a harmonious, symbiotic relationship with wildlife. Apart from nurturing biodiversity, the crops and vineyard are sustainably managed through hand labor, low-volume drip irrigation, composting, and cover crop dusting, which results in superior wine production. By elaborating a holistic approach to target challenges posed by climate change, San Diego County and its agencies have the ability to make our agricultural sector resilient in the face of severe weather calamities and also transform it into a powerful mitigation tool to help offset carbon emissions and conserve our region's natural resources.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering,
Get trained to be a citizen journalist and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
Our East County Magazine Radio Show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
After some of the heaviest winter rains in years, fire officials are warning that we could have a severe fire season this year. So we want to remind everybody that you can sign up for our East County Wildfire and Emergency Alerts, which do cover wildfires countywide as well as other emergencies such as flash flooding, freeway closures, earthquakes, and more. You can sign up at eastcountymagazine.org to get our alerts by email, or you can follow East County Alert on Twitter.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Danita Ramirez
and Zaravon Ali
with Destination East County. Late springtime here in East County is blossoming with unique events including a lilac festival in Julian, Lakeside's Rodeo and Western Days Parade, concerts starring Neil Young and Tanya Tucker, Sweet Pea Day at Summers Past Farms, a spring festival at Cuyamaca College, Vintage Alpine, Mother's Day Teas, A Taste of Ramona, and Wild in the Country at Lions, Tigers, and Bears in Alpine.
First up, we have the Lilac Festival now through May 12th. For across old-timey adventures, invite you on their 9th annual Lilac Festival event. On Saturdays and Sundays, now throughout Mother's Day weekend, May 12th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fort Cross, the largest lilac farm in Southern California that sells fresh-cut bouquets directly to the public and has lilac varieties available for purchase 7 days a week. Activities include archery, tomahawk throwing, slingshot range, and farm animal visits, reptile shows, spring wagon rides, hoedowns, and jug band shows, a treasure hunt, and much more fun. For a small admissions fee, you can also stroll past the lilac maze and enjoy walking trails, petting zoos, tire swings, and a jug band, and old-timey games on the farm. You can reserve a space and get more information at fortcross.com/lilac-festival.
Lakeside's annual rodeo will be held April 25th through 28th, featuring events such as bronco and bull riding, barrel racing, and more. A tradition for more than a century, the rodeo began back in 1920 and today benefits youth groups in the Lakeside community. Tickets are available at lakesiderodeo.com.
Lakeside's Western Day Parade rolls out on Saturday, April 27th, starting at 9:35 a.m. The parade route starts on Woodside Avenue and proceeds down Main Avenue. This year's theme is Lakeside, a great small town. The parade is organized by the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce, and you can find more information at lakesidechambers.org.
Legendary musician Neil Young and his band Crazy Horse will perform live at the Cal Coast Credit Union Open Air Theater at San Diego State University on April 27th. Winner of multiple Grammy Awards, Neil Young has previously performed with such big-name bands as Crosby, Stills and Nash, and Buffalo Springfield. His hit songs include Freedom, Philadelphia, and Harvest Moon. Tickets are available at as.sdsu.edu/Cal Coast. Or Google Cal Coast Open Air Theater for details.
Summers Past Farms invites you to Sweet Pea Day on Saturday, April 27th. Stroll through their fragrant sweet pea maze and purchase a bouquet of cut sweet pea flowers to take home. The farm is open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., but early arrival is recommended, since the sweet pea bouquets are known to sell out quickly. For more information, visit summerspastfarms.com.
Cuyamaca College invites you to celebrate the season at its Spring Festival on Saturday, May 4th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This year's event is hosted by the Ornamental Horticulture Department and Heritage of the Americas Museum. This event includes a plant sale and classroom demonstrations in the Cuyamaca College Nursery, as well as an arts and crafts fair and special performances by The Gravities, The Reckless, Experimental Lover, DJ Freedy, and The Vinyl Shop. Cuyamaca College is located in the Rancho San Diego area of El Cajon. For more information, visit cuyamaca.edu.
The 37th Annual Vintage Alpine, a wine and food experience, will be held on May 5th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Summers Past Farms in Flint Springs. Sponsored by the Kiwanis Club of Alpine, the event traditionally offers tastes from over 40 local wineries, as well as samples of food from local restaurants and sips from local breweries. You can also enjoy live, relaxing music and a silent auction in the beautiful garden settings. For tickets, visit vintagealpine.org.
Julian Tea and Cottage Arts is serving Mother's Day teas May 9th through 13th. These special teas include finger sandwiches and savories, scones, tea breads, and desserts. Teas will be served both indoors and outdoors, weather permitting. Special menus are available with advance request for vegetarian, gluten-free, and children's options. There are several seating times each day between 11:30 and 2:30. For reservations, visit julientea.com.
The Ramona Chamber of Commerce invites you to savor the taste of Ramona on Saturday, May 18th from 11 to 5 p.m. Your tickets include tastes from 19 participants at 15 locations, including foods from their local restaurants, caterers, and bakeries, as well as wine and hard cider. For delicious details, visit RamonaChamber.com/taste of Ramona.
Tanya Tucker, who was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame last October, will be performing live at the Magnolia in El Cajon on May 19th. Since her first hit, Delta Dawn, in 1972, Tucker has rocketed to stardom with a streak of top 10 hits, several albums, and multiple Country Music Association Award nominations. Her 2019 album, While I'm Livin', won the Grammy Award for Best Country Album. Bring My Flowers Now won a shared Grammy for Best Country Song. Tucker's latest album is a 2023 critically acclaimed collaboration with Brandi Carlile called Sweet Western Sound. For more information, visit MagnoliaSanDiego.com.
El Cajon's Concerts in the Park continue each Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon. May's performances include Twisted Gypsy, Soul Persuaders, Patrick Trampas, Detroit Underground, and the Morgan Lee Band. For the full list of these outdoor community concerts, visit DowntownElCajon.com.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears, an exotic animal sanctuary in Alpine, invites you to Wild in the Country on May 19th. The sanctuary's biggest annual fundraiser features live and silent auctions, a luncheon, entertainment, and opportunities to view the big cats and other rescued animals. For tickets and details, visit lionstigersandbears.org.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
In alignment with its commitment to inspire communities through movement and conversation, Sharp Grossmont Hospital has launched its new community engagement initiative called Walk with a Doc. This innovative nationwide program is being led locally by Sharp-affiliated physicians Dr. Kaveh Bagheri and Dr. Ara Klijan. Scheduled for the fourth Thursday each month, Walk with a Doc aims to foster a stronger connection between the community and healthcare professionals. Every session starts with a brief educational talk focusing on vital health topics such as diet, lung and heart health, and the benefits of regular physical activity. And then, participants walk with doctors and other hospital staff at Briarcrest Park in La Mesa to continue the conversation. Dr. Bagheri says this program gives me the opportunity to speak with community members and answer some of their basic health questions. Today I spoke with participants about their primary care, what their medical condition is, and answered some of the questions that they had in a much more relaxed environment rather than a doctor's office, he said during the first session. By integrating practical health guidance with physical activity, Walk with a Doc seeks to strengthen patient-physician relationships while providing a unique opportunity for the public to take tangible steps toward better health in real time. For details on how you can participate in upcoming Walk with a Doc events, you can visit sharp.com/classes or just call the Sharp Community Resource Center at 619-740-4214. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine on KNSJ.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
The California State Assembly is considering a bill to require schools to have a cardiac arrest response plan. Assembly Bill 2887 would make sure schools update their safety plans to include CPR training and an automatic external defibrillator, or AED, on site. Dr. Steven Sanko is a professor of clinical emergency medicine at USC, a founding member of the Cardiac Arrest Survivor Alliance, and a volunteer expert for the American Heart Association.
The American Heart Association is promoting that schools have a cardiac arrest response plan, a written protocol for what to do in order to decrease the likelihood that if somebody collapses, that they die.
2 years ago, 15-year-old Cash Hennessy collapsed on the football field due to a previously unknown heart defect. Two off-duty medics in the stands gave him CPR. The school brought out its AED, but it was useless because the batteries were dead. Hennessy says the experience was traumatic.
I feel blessed that I had people there for me that could give me CPR, but I think about if those people weren't there and that was another kid, who knows what would have happened because there wouldn't have been an AED to save them.
An AED walks people through the steps to deliver a life-saving shock to a person's heart until an ambulance arrives. Studies show that 70% of kids who suffer sudden cardiac arrest at school recover if an AED is deployed correctly, whereas the survival rate for kids and adults not in the hospital is less than 12%. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso. Today, my very special guest is Joliana Gergis. She is the new executive director of the Chaldean Community Council. Joliana fled religious persecution in Iraq, coming to America when she was just 19 years old and pregnant at the time. Connecting through other Chaldeans here, she learned about the Diego Valley Charter School, where she learned English and obtained a high school diploma. She went on to earn both a bachelor's and master's degree in counseling at San Diego State University, and now she's giving back to help other newcomers to America at the Chaldean Council, where she has expanded the nonprofit to help refugee and immigrant families in El Cajon, including during the pandemic, when the organization provided a lot of help to people in need. She's also the winner of the San Diego Metro Magazine's 40 Under 40 Award and an elected member of the Cajon Valley Union School District Board. Joliana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam.
What were conditions like in your homeland in Iraq that drove you and your husband to come to America when you were so young and 6 months pregnant at the time?
Condition in Iraq promoted us to come to America when I was 19 and pregnant. It was a difficult decision, but we couldn't stay there. It wasn't safe for us as a family.
Yeah, that's, I think, a very common experience for a lot of refugees coming in from around the world. So what was it like to arrive here in America as a newcomer who didn't speak English? And how did you survive and become so successful?
Arriving in America as a newcomer who didn't speak English was challenging. But the hard work and support from the community, we managed to thrive and succeed.
Good for you. And now I'd like to introduce one of our wonderful, talented interns, Danera Ramirez, who is from Grossmont College, where I know you worked for a long time. Danera has a couple of questions for you.
How did your time at Diego Valley School influence your life?
My time at Diego Valley School greatly influenced my life by providing me with a solid foundation and supportive environment.
How helpful was your time at Grossmont College in preparing you for your higher education?
Grossmont College played a crucial role in preparing me for higher education, offering valuable resource and education opportunities.
So who does the Chaldean Community Council help?
We help everybody, not just Chaldean people. The doors are open for like all people, all communities, whoever needs help with anything.
Can you tell us about some of the programs and the assistance the organization provides?
Sure. We do everything for people, like anything they need help with, from looking for job applications, reading their mail, reading their email, applying for medical, for CalFresh, CalWORKS, applying for college, any help with any job application, anything. We help people, especially non-English speakers, mm-hmm. who need help all the time, and they come to our center looking for help.
That's great. That's so important for new refugees and immigrants coming here. So what prompted you to start the computer literacy program and a program to help people find health insurance, Juliana?
Some programs provided include computer literacy training and assistance with finding health insurance. We started those programs to address specific needs within the community and promote empowerment and well-being, especially during challenging time like COVID pandemic.
Yeah, tell us about that. What were some of the things you did during the COVID pandemic to help the community?
During COVID pandemic, we collaborated with SDSU, other organization, and health. We provided health information to people. We were trying to reach as many community members as possible to make sure people are getting the help during the pandemic.
That's great. So I want to introduce another of our wonderful interns from Grossmont College, Zarvan Ali. And Zarvan has some questions for you as well.
Hello. You're also an elected member of the Cajon Valley Union School District Board of Directors. What prompted you to run, and what's your experience been like serving as a trustee?
I run for Cajon Valley Union District as a board of director to contribute positively of education and present the interest of the community. Serving as a trustee has been a good experience for me, and also helping my community.
All right. And what ideas do you have that you would like to see implemented?
I have several ideas for improvement in the Cajon Valley District, including enhancing technology in a classroom and expanding access to the community, being that person who can connect the community with the district.
All right, and what are your future goals and aspirations, both personally and for the Chaldean Community Council?
My future goals include further improving education in the district and advising the initiatives of the Chaldean Community Council.
Yeah, that's all very important. So, Juliana, how can people get involved with the Chaldean Community Council if they want to help out?
People can get involved with the Chaldean Community Council by volunteering their time, donating resources, or participate in the event and the programs.
Great. And folks, you can find more information at chaldeancouncil.org. Juliana, I'm going to let you have the last word today. What else would you like our audience to know?
I would like the audience to know that their support can make difference in lives of individuals and families within the Chaldean community.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you.
San Diego County's Citizens Law Enforcement Review Board is looking for applicants to fill an opening. Established in 1990, the board investigates citizen complaints against San Diego County sheriff's deputies and probation officers. The current vacancy is in Supervisorial District 4, that's Monica Montgomery Steps District. It includes the cities of Lemon Grove and La Mesa, parts of the city of San Diego, and unincorporated communities that include Casa de Oro, Mount Helix, Rancho San Diego, and Spring Valley. The 11 members include two from each of the five supervisorial districts, and the 11th is chosen at large. The County Board of Supervisors appoints members for three-year terms that are staggered, starting July 1st and ending June 30th. The board also investigates deaths in connection with the actions of sworn deputies and probation officers. The review board then makes advisory findings on complaints and recommends policy and procedure changes to the sheriff, chief probation officer, and the Board of Supervisors. Now, applicants must be a registered voter in San Diego County. They cannot be a county employee or be affiliated with the county. They can't hold a position as a sworn law enforcement officer, and they must serve a three-year term for no more than two consecutive full terms. They do need to attend one Citizens Law Enforcement Review Board meeting prior to applying. The first review of applications will start Monday, June 3rd. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
Since becoming an international dark sky community in 2021, Julian is part of the mere 1% of the United States where the Milky Way remains visible. The mountain's town mission recently faced a challenge when the brightness of 14 newly installed streetlights exceeded dark sky community standards, prompting the Julian Dark Sky Network to seek assistance from Supervisor Joel Anderson, whose staff reached out to the San Diego Gas and Electric Company. Supervisor Anderson says, "I am pleased to report that through our coordinated efforts, the luminosity of the streetlights was effectively reduced from 6,200 lumens to 4,000 lumens in compliance with dark sky community standards." Doug Solacy, founder of the Julian Dark Sky Network, says local residents confirmed to us they saw a significant beneficial change and were quite happy. "This change was unquestionably beneficial to the quality of life of the residents of the historic district." Julian is one of only two dark skies communities in San Diego County. The other is Borrego Springs. Both communities now draw tourists who come to enjoy stargazing activities as well as other attractions. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
The San Diego County Sheriff's Department is seeking Sean Arkwad for suspected arson. On April 9th, shortly after 11:30 p.m., sheriff deputies and Sean Miguel Fire Department responded to a call from a resident reporting that their house on Sacramento Avenue in Spring Valley was on fire. Units arrived within minutes and found small fires in several rooms. The people inside the home were safely evacuated. One person was medically evaluated on the scene for minor burns and smoke inhalation. Detectives from the sheriff's bomb/arson unit were called into the scene to investigate the origins and cause of the fire. The fire was determined to have started inside a bedroom. The cause of the fire was determined to be arson. Detectives identified Arkwad as the suspect believed to have set the fires to the home. Deputies were unable to locate him. He is 45 years old, black with brown eyes and short black hair, 6 feet 3 inches tall, and weighs around 220 pounds. Sean Arkwad is wanted for unlawful and reckless cause of fire to an inhabited building. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Saravan Ali.
After some of the heaviest winter rains in years, fire officials are warning that we could have a severe fire season this year. So we want to remind everybody that you can sign up for our East County Wildfire and Emergency Alerts, which do cover wildfires countywide as well as other emergencies such as flash flooding, freeway closures, earthquakes, and more. You can sign up at eastcountymagazine.org to get our alerts by email, or you can follow East County Alert on Twitter.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County into Scanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats. Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.